real, no fake. All gas, no brakes. Ain't nothing else to say, but
let me find out. Everybody, it's your girl Nikki Washington. Welcome to season 8 of Let Me Find Out, a witty take on life and culture. So if you have been following us for any length of time, you know what it is. You know what we do. We bring you the highest quality, best content because we're all about edifying the body of Christ. We're all about giving practical wisdom and we're all about having fun. So when I think about guests who can be the intersection of all those things, I think about my brother Tolu. Welcome to the show, Tolu.
Nikki, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm so humbled and honored. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm excited for you to be here. So for anyone who's not familiar, I used to live in Dallas and I met Tolu. We were singing on the worship team. He was the real singer. I was the background vocalist. But he was singing on the worship team. And I just always remembered he had such a humble, kind spirit. And I remember him sharing his testimony with us about the music industry and how he navigated that and how God brought him through and just the intersect of working in a secular space, but being a man of faith. So I was like, you know, we have a lot of listeners who are faith-based people, but also work in secular marketplace. So who other when it comes to music to talk about this than you, Tolu? So for anyone who's not familiar, tell everybody who you are and where you got your start.
All right. My name is Tolu Adesina. I'm a singer, songwriter, and producer, originally from Nigeria. I was in the music business for 7 years in the Afrobeats music business in Nigeria. And I moved eventually to America to, you know, further my dreams. And, you know, God was leading me a certain way and I could not resist that. And, you know, I came all the way here. And, you know, I've been doing it for such a long time. You know, at first it wasn't like a thing where you start singing and you break out into the industry. But eventually I met the right people and they noticed my talent and it went, you know, uphill from there. So
he's being humble about it, y'all. I just need you to Google. He's being really modest about it. The Justin Bieber of his reason. He's being modest about it. So when did you first realize you had a gift?
Oh, man, I was really young. I believe it was back in we call it primary school in Nigeria. I think I was about 8 years of age at that time. And my music teacher back in primary school noticed that I had this really different high-pitched voice, different from the other male kids. Yeah. And then he put me to sing in the soprano section.
For
the school choir. So, you know, that was where I kind of honed in on my voice. And he would like Tolu's lead in the song. And I was I was a shy kid, timid. Okay. I was this big. And, you know, I would always be shy, but he always told me, hey, you have something different. God has graced you. Just close your eyes, give it your shot, and just let God use you. And I would do that all the time until eventually I learned how to open my eyes, engage the crowd. Then fast forward to when I went to a music competition, our version of American Idols in Nigeria. And I entered for the competition and I was one of the final five. And that was where everyone got to know my gift. And It was uphill from there. Yeah.
So what, because you are a man of faith, but you also work in all spaces, what kind of music were you doing and how did you navigate that as a man of faith?
Oh yeah. I was doing a lot of R&B mixed with Afro beats. And it was music that was geared towards a certain demographic. Now, it's great that you asked me that question because there was a point in the industry where they wanted to take my brand to the next level, you know, because I did music that was, I grew up in a Baptist church. Yeah. So I did music that was safe, what mm-hmm. the circular world would call safe.
Yeah. That Songs of Solomon type music.
Exactly. But when I signed a record deal, the person that signed me said, hey, you have an incredible voice. People already know you in Nigeria. We just need to take it up a notch. Your sure. brand needs to be, you know, edgy, needs to be appropriate to the market. And my manager back then wanted me to be Nigeria's version of Trey Songz.
Wow.
At the time. And I had a lot of issues with that because the songs that were written for me, I wrote my own songs previously, but the songs that were written for me and the brand that was created was outside of what I was used to. Mm. And I remember there was this particular song we did called Sugar Rush. It was the most uncomfortable recording I've ever done because it was talking specifically about sensual things, you know, and engaging in sensual acts, which was different from what I would write. Mm. And that song came out, unfortunately, and then it got me attracted to, or It got my gift attracted to some kind of people in the industry. So I remember this meeting that I had, impromptu meeting. My manager said, "Hey, some big shots in the industry want to meet up with you. Would you be open to a meeting?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure, why not?" So I sat down at this table, a bunch of guys, good looking guys, you know, very wealthy. And they said, "We see you, we've seen the video, you're amazing. We think you are definitely the next version of Nigeria's Trey Songz, but we have a proposition for you." And I said, "What's that?" And they said, "Well, we're gonna ensure that you have a lifestyle, that it's only private jets, designer clothes, everything taken care of, wherever you wanna go in the world is taken care of, but you would need to be servicing, for lack of a better word, some politicians that are same-sex type of people."
Wow, okay, I'm tracking.
So basically they're saying, "We'll give you the life you want, give you the success you want, but you have to service men in this capacity." And that for me, being a Baptist boy, was not something I could do at all.
Sure.
So I told them that as much as the lifestyle you're offering sounds amazing to me, that's where I crossed the line. I'm not going to be sleeping with men for your benefit.
Right.
And they said, "You don't know what you're passing up, that big names have done this same deal and become even bigger internationally." And I said, "Well, if that's the cost of success in this industry, then I don't want any part of it."
Yeah. I'm glad that you mentioned that, especially with the headlines and what's going on in the current climate. And I think so many people, I don't know if they're aware or not, but because we've been around those spaces where you've been around industry stuff, you know that it's not uncommon for those kind of deals.
Basically, they're saying, "We'll give you the life you want, give you the success you want, but you have to service men in this capacity." And that, for me, being a Baptist boy, was not something I could do at all.
Sure.
So I told them that as much as the lifestyle you're offering sounds amazing to me, that's where I crossed the line. I'm not going to be sleeping with men for your benefit.
Right.
And they said, "You don't know what you're passing up, that big names have done this same deal and become even bigger internationally." And I said, "Well, if that's the cost of success in this industry, then I don't want any part of it."
To be made or for that kind of stuff to happen, and a lot of things that happen, the underbelly of something you come into it because all you really want to do is what you love, right? Or what you feel called to. And then you get propositioned and approached and all that stuff. So what kind of advice would you give for, there's some young whippersnapper 20-year-old who just has a zeal to want to sing and they know they have a gift. What kind of cautionary advice would you give them coming into this space?
I would let them know that do not be oblivious of the dark side of music. It does exist. A lot of people want to believe, "Oh, it's just stories from people. You know, people don't know what they're talking about. There's no Illuminati. There's no this, there's no that." There's a lot of conspiracy out there. But I can tell you firsthand that it wasn't Illuminati or some kind of cult, but they wanted me to degrade God's glory on me for financial benefit. And at some point, especially females, I'm recognizing now that females go through that a whole lot more than men. So my biggest advice to you is, hey, if God is giving you a gift and a message to this world, stick to that message. It may not be behind a pulpit, but stick to your message that God is giving you, because the message that these people want to preach to the world is totally different. They want everything sexualized. They want everything. There's a spirit, a sexual spirit behind the music of today. And if you want to be successful, you have to jump on the bandwagon. And I don't want to mention any names, you know, because, you know, I don't want to shade anyone. But if you notice some artists that came in, should I say Disney, and now they're like HBO, it's because of that same thing. So
it's funny you mentioned it, because it kind of segues into a question I had. I was thinking about, I have a lot of friends that are artists and they want to sing, but some people might not know which lane they belong in. So if they're a man of faith watching or a woman of faith watching, and they don't know, Tolu, I like, you and I met singing in church, but you obviously your gift expands outside the walls. How do I know if my gift is for the church and the church only, or it's for outside the walls? Like, how do you help determine, or what was your course and path of determining where you were supposed to display and use your gifts for God's glory?
There's something that a pastor, a big, you know, pastor that I respect told me. He said, there are a lot of people doing ministry that are called, and then there are some that call themselves. And then he would jokishly say, actually, you don't want to operate in an office that you are not called into.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because every office has a judgment attached to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Ooh, so wait a minute. That's good. That is so good. And it's accurate.
Yeah, it does. So that's why, you know, I think it was Paul that was saying, let not all of you be teachers, because there's a certain type of judgment attached
Absolutely.
To teaching people.
Absolutely.
So if you have a gift from God, you can bless the world. If God didn't say, I want you to bless people and heal people and be a minister and be a prophet and speak my word. If God didn't give you that call, don't call yourself. Because what would happen is you would fake it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not genuine,
right.
Because you feel like it's the right thing to do, but eventually you'll get enticed by the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of people start in church and end up in the club, not because they don't know the right thing to do, but because the conviction as to what they're called to do is mm-hmm. not there.
Oh, that's good.
So if you're not called, it's fine. You can still do music that appeals to the world, but do it with a mind of impact. As opposed to a mind of, you know, because everybody's singing about sex, I want to sing about sex too. If you have a calling to change the norms of the world, to speak or to just educate people or to just make people happy, if that's your calling, stay there. But if God wants to use you as a music minister, because I always say there's a difference between a music minister and a gospel singer.
Amen. Wait, break down that difference for people who are not familiar, because I know where you're going.
Exactly. Because that, you know, there's some people that when that is why, and I'm glad that you've been in, you know, we've sang behind the pulpit a lot of times. There's a difference between a guest minister that comes and ministers to the people and then someone that just entertains them. Because entertaining people, the circle of guys can do that.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to put a gospel behind it. But, it, you know, when you feel someone sing with the power of the Holy Ghost, it's undeniable. You know that God is in this person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why I said there's a difference between a gospel artist and a music minister. And
Absolutely.
Which ideally everyone that's serving God through music should be a music minister, ideally.
Absolutely. You know? What do you feel like God has called you to globally? And you know how people are like, I'm called to the nations. And you'd be like, what does that mean? Like, what do you feel like God has called you to and where your voice is needed most?
I feel like God has called me to impact. I feel like my voice has something to say. And I did. And that's why some people, they reach out to me and say, I don't understand your brand. I was like, I understand your dilemma.
<You're lying>.
Because, you know, I'm the same guy that's going to do a song and say, let's get up and dance. And the same guy that's going to do a song like Need You. I did a song with our friends, Kiki Boyd and, oh my God, I've forgotten my sister's name.
Come on, name drop.
I'm sorry.
No,
but yeah, two incredible worship leaders in one community at the time. And we did a song where it talked about how much we needed God.
I was about to name the person, but I was like, if I'm wrong, I don't want to embarrass her.
No, go ahead.
Was it Crystal?
Yeah, Crystal.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Hey, Crystal,
exactly.
Shout out to you, girl. I was like, I'm talking about Crystal, but if you know how to say and you're wrong, you'd be like, oops. Oops.
And she really came through on that song.
She
but
so
the song
bomb.
Was, the vision for that song was, hey, you know, we go through a lot of things in this world.
Sure.
Right now, a lot of things is happening in Israel and Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
The inflation in America, people mm-hmm. are suffering, people are barely paying their mortgages. You know, I put all of that together and I told my sisters, hey, I want to make a song that is real to everyone, where everybody knows that at some point they need God.
Absolutely.
And that song came together. So for me, my personal call is impact. Mm-hmm. However way I can impact them. And if you notice, because of the impact I have in music, I use that to also speak to relationships.
Absolutely.
To speak to different things, because I feel like the gospel should be a magnet. From my call. So absolutely. Yeah, use that, bring them in, and then teach them what God wants to teach them.
That's so good. That's so good and so mm-hmm. healthy. And it kind of, so again, I have a lot of friends that do a lot of different things, and you spoke to it a little bit with relationship. How do you balance? And I ask this of mothers, but I feel like we don't ask it of men as much. How do you balance your mate and then your life and your home and still give to God's people what is due and give God what is due? Like, some people find it hard to balance it.
It's a lot. It could take a serious toll. Sometimes I struggle with it. I'm not even going to lie. I'm going to be honest, because it's a lot to juggle as to what you're supposed to be doing for family, what God expects of you, you know, how people need impact from you. You know, sometimes I leave a lot of, and not by, you know, not because I don't want to attend to it. There's a lot of messages in my DM. Hey, Tolu, mm-hmm. I need your help. You know, yeah. I know you've spoken to this before on your page. Can you help me? And then later on, when I have little time, I scroll through them. I'm like, oof. Where do I begin? Okay. So it's not easy. But yeah. One thing that, you know, because I'm a child of God, one thing that I lean on is God's grace. That's that good. Per time, whatever God needs to do through me per time will not be missed. If a person needs something from God, and I'm just a conduit, I'm not special, just so you know. I'm just something that God uses. Exactly. Us. So whenever that one person that God wants to speak to is needing God to move through me, that God will bring my attention to it in that moment, in that season, and they will receive what they need to receive. Yeah,
that's good. Now, last question. Tell us, well, actually, second to last question. Tell us about a smile. I listened to it today, and I was like, okay, tell me. Let us know where the inspiration came from.
Oh, it came from everything that's happening now. Because more and more, we're having reasons not to smile. I had to unfollow someone on Instagram, a certain gentleman named Sean King, because I just couldn't take what I was seeing. It was just
a lot to ingest.
It was just a lot. And you know, to make music that would make people find a reason to be happy again, smile again, in spite of what's happening in our world, it's just a lot. And just in our, you know, at our front door in America, the killings, the shootings, the you know, suicides, it's just a lot is going on. So it came from that point where I just want to give people a reason to, okay, I'm listening to this and this makes me happy in this moment. That's and so give healthy. A little joy. Yeah,
you definitely, when you listen to it, it makes you want to ride. It makes you also want to dance a little. You have to make sure you're twerking for Jesus' sake. <I'm joking. laughs> But when I heard it, immediately made me, it's like, I could ride my car or I could be cleaning up my house and vibe out to it. And I was like, this is really nice. And I love, so I'm one of those people, no matter if it's gospel or secular, as long as the message is clean and the message is clear, I can rock with it, because I believe it's not what goes in, it's what comes out, right? So I'm a big proponent of, because I know gospel songs that are not sound, and I know secular songs that are more sound than gospel, so I don't get caught up in the weeds of what is what. But I love the fact that your music is holistic. It speaks to all issues of life, but at the same time, you can listen to it in front of your kids and it ain't, you know, gonna mess somebody up. So thank you for sharing your gift with us. Now, last bonus question. You know, we've been in church a long time and we've been in this world a long time. I want you to tell me what is, maybe it was on the road when you were singing, or maybe it was in church. What is the funniest thing that you have seen in church that you were like, wow, that's kind of crazy. And I'll give you time to think about it. Like, when I think about my funny stories, I've seen people's like wigs roll off in church. I've seen people's slips fall down in church. I've seen people say stuff from the pulpit that I thought was hilarious. So what is a lighthearted, speaking of smile, a lighthearted story that you can tell us that will make us smile?
I think it happened to me directly, losing my voice before I even made the first note.
So you were like singing, you had like mic in hand?
I had my mic in hand. I was about to start the song and I started, because my voice was good before I got on stage.
Sure.
And we had done rehearsals. Everything was fine. But the first note just went flat and off and I couldn't hit it. And it was so embarrassing for me. It really was.
How did you recover though? Like, how did you recover?
Ooh, man, I just played it off. You know, I let the intro play again. I let it play again and go into the, oh, thank you, Jesus. You're so worthy. You're so holy. In that moment, I'm talking to God. God, you better get this voice together.
You're a good God. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Okay.
And by the time the intro was done and I went into it, I went in with the right note and I felt better. But I was so embarrassed with that first note that
I'd have been embarrassed for you. I ain't gonna hold you. I'd have been that one golf clap in the audience. Let him use you. Let him use.
Or they'll tell you, take your time. Take your time.
Take your time, baby. Take your time. Anyway, thank you so much for sharing your time, your gift, and for bringing smiles and just joy to the world. Where can we find you if you want to connect? And can you, again, let us know where we can find the project as well?
Awesome. Smile by Tolu is available on all platforms, iTunes, Instagram, Pandora, The Works, Tidal. And you can find me on social media at I Am That Tolu. And it's the same across all boards, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Snapchat is the same.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for sharing with us and everybody. This has been Tolu and you have been watching Let Me Find Out.
No fake, all gas, no breaks, ain't nothing else to say, but
let me find out.